Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Electric Leftovers. My name is Jason. This is episode 428. Nearing the end of March. We're all very excited for it around here. This means something for your old pal Jason. It means we're probably going back to the five-day work week. Which means I'm going to have to find time to do the show when I haven't been usually doing the show. That's okay. We're in the house today, doing some work out in the Groove Machine Dome. It made it a little difficult to do some recording, but that's all right. We are wrapping up Final Fantasy Tactics, or getting near to, if you've been following along with that. We have just got to the final bonus dungeon-y segment of the game, so that's a thing. We've got more Blasto and all the usual stuff, man. The Let's Listen project is continuing on as a... going strong, I think. Strong enough, I hope, because I just recorded a bunch more for that coming up. If you want to check out any of the Let's Listen, go find that over on my YouTube page. Okay. Long ago in a distant galaxy, an alien race sent a huge world called Naju hurtling toward Earth loaded with a cargo of mysterious life forms. During the long journey, these creatures have multiplied and become increasingly evil, and now Naju teems with evil. However, deep within the complex globe are self-destruct mechanisms that can be activated to destroy it before it reaches Earth. Now you must battle your way deep within Naju's labyrinths to destroy it. You are the Guardian of Earth, and your saga will become the Guardian Legend. Great shoot 'em up arcade action combined with underground adventure. Choose from 12 different weapons to launch your breakneck attack against the monsters deep within Naju. Password feature allows you to end a game in progress and resume it later. Sure it does. This is the Guardian Legend, an action-adventure game developed by Compile and published by Broderbund in 1989. Phenomenal game. Absolutely phenomenal. I don't know if groundbreaking, because other games have done similar kind of things, but just the way they did this, where you've got top-down vertical scrolling shooter stages combined with the kind of semi-isometric overhead dungeon exploring stages, RPG elements, fantastic controls, fantastic gameplay, fantastic soundtrack, and a damned hard game to boot. I don't know, the Guardian Legends. It's tough to beat when it comes to how good is a good game for me. Love this game. When we do games that are like Gris, which are not exactly, you know, well-known games, it always makes me a little concerned as to what the reviews are going to be. Now, we have one detailed review. We have three quick reviews, so we're going to read those. There's a GameSpot review and a lot of Metacritic stuff. We don't care about those. The downside, and I don't know how much of a downside this is going to be, where Gris is a modern title. It's available on like everything. Android, iOS, Mac, Switch, PS4 and 5, Xbox Series 1 and X. It's on a lot of things. And it looks like everybody reviewed the Switch version for the most part. So I don't know if that's going to have any big impact on the reviews, because I played the PC version. We should be fine. Let's start with this one. Divides Dev Id Ice? Devidice? D-E-V-I-D-I-S-E. Devidice? Devidice? I don't know. 2020 says, a beautiful masterpiece that leaves little reason to return. Gris is as elegant as it is mysterious and as powerful as it is empty, telling a story about grief entirely without dialogue. Gris takes you through a desolate world that is equal parts hostile and welcoming. Unfortunately, at the end of its brief story, it had to justify a return visit. It had to? Some games are really only meant to be played once. Journey comes to mind as a title that really doesn't justify a second playthrough, unless you're a big fan of it or want all the trophies. While its world is beautiful, its story moving, and its controls just south of perfect, it doesn't change or evolve, and a second playthrough, at least one that doesn't occur significantly after the first, is likely to leave you feeling the same as the first one, resulting in diminishing emotional return. Gris falls into this category as well. At its core, Gris is a puzzle platformer that focuses on the environment more than anything else. You will travel through a number of surreal landscapes, initially only able to move, then jump, and as time goes on, your power gets expanded. The controls are very good, and the player's almost weightlessness is a nice way to convey the game's message overall. Furthermore, platforming is tight, and when you find yourself stuck, you can certain you are simply trying something you can't do yet, and not that the game is failing in any sense. The artwork here is absolutely gorgeous, a hand-painted watercolor world that feels a lot deeper than just the parts you can explore. One section of the game is set predominantly in the water, and the animation is sublime. Even in the game's more humdrum locales, like an early red desert, it's beautiful to see the way the artist realized every set piece and made them feel genuine and alive. What's more, the game follows a satisfying series of puzzles, with only a couple actually feeling underwhelming. While none of the puzzles are mentally taxing, they fit so well into the world you are currently exploring, it's easily forgivable. Furthermore, the puzzles are meant to make you feel consumed by the world, not stifled by it, so the lack of any real challenge feels apropos. Sadly, as previously mentioned, Gris is over pretty quick, and there's not much reason to return. In-game achievements, called challenges, are moderately interesting, but they don't hold a ton of lasting power. And with chapter select, it would be easy to mop them up pretty quickly. As someone who enjoys achievements, these fit very well into the game. They really run the perfect gambit of doing the story, playing the game in a specific way, and locating collectibles. Only one achievement, which has you completing a specific section without getting hurt, feels out of place in a game that is largely meditative. They gave it an 8. Devidice, whatever, gave it an 8. Not a bad review. Missing a couple words, just outright missing, I think. Imagine 606 in 2020 says, pure beauty. A lot of people say that video games can't be art. I have always disagreed with that sentiment. Games like Journey, Inside, Limbo, El Shaddai, Braid, and so on have really given me a strong case against this argument. Without a doubt, Gris is another addition to the list. I've seen Braid. This is me talking now. I've seen Braid. I've seen Limbo. I don't care. This is the second person to mention Journey, so we might need to look into Journey. The game is among the most beautiful games that I have ever seen. It uses an almost watercolor type of style, but that still won't be the most accurate description of it. The game starts out with almost no color and builds up as you go along. However, it's not just the visuals that create this beautiful work of art. The music does as well. It's a very soft, serene soundtrack that goes along perfectly with both the game itself and everything you do. It all combines to create something that is absolutely stunning. As for the actual gameplay, it's not at all complicated. It's a 2D platformer with next to zero combat. There are chase parts, but even those are few. I don't remember exactly how many, but there were not more than a few, and far between. There are a lot of puzzle elements throughout, and it's not just a perfectly linear path, but it is still mostly linear. You pretty much go from one puzzle area to the next and solve the greater puzzle in that region of the game. The puzzles are, for the most part, quite simple. They involve some searching, but that's really about it. The story behind the game is also quite beautiful. It's left vague, so you are able to make out of it what you want, but it does have direction. Everything is given to you without using words, though, much like some games I mentioned at the start of this review. I took it as some sort of battle with inner demons myself, a nod to those who have dealt with mental illness. However, I could really see it being taken in many other ways where things you do have to fear, are external things as well. I really don't know if there's a right or a wrong answer, and I wouldn't even be surprised if those making the game had different ideas of what it was supposed to be. Either way, unless you're a masochist, you would take it in a way that is beautiful to you. This is a wonderful game all around. The beauty of the story, visuals, and soundtrack were top of the line. The gameplay was very simple, but it still had enough to make it the entire package. It still had enough to make the entire package a great package that I was very happy to be able to play. Imagine also gave it an 8. And finally, a little longer one from Game Boy 3145 in 2022. They begin, the upper echelons of art games. Genuine artistry is hard to come by. Many developers pour their hearts and souls into the work, and unfortunately things often get lost in translation. However, with Nomada Studios' Gris, everything just seems to fall into place while brilliantly conveying a powerful message about dealing with loss and reconciling with the past. With clear inspiration from Journey, there it is again, Gris, often puts the gameplay in the backseat in order to focus on atmosphere and simplicity. However, the mechanics are fleshed out over the course of the journey to provide a degree of growth for both narrative and gameplay purposes. Genre-wise, the game falls in the puzzle platformer category with a notable focus on flow. Movement is smooth and the controls are very straightforward. Each level has its own set of new mechanics that keep the gameplay from becoming repetitive. When it comes to puzzles, they're very intuitive and generally on the easy side. Regardless, there are collectibles for those interested in some real brain teasers. As the game progressed, the puzzles got more challenging, but never really got to a point where puzzle solving became the only reason to play. It's more of a means to an end, with the end being a way to subtly inject symbolism into the gameplay, thereby marrying player interaction with the narrative. Gris's story feels incredibly personal while also being thematically universal. The game doesn't tell its story through dialogue, but through action. The narrative came off as very introspective, like a sort of internal struggle. It begins with our main character, a girl named Gris, on the palm of a statue. As the statue crumbles, she descends downward into a monochromatic world. It sets the stage for a simple journey on the surface, while weaving a coming-of-age story through mechanical metaphors. Minimalism was a key focus in the crafting of the narrative. Throughout the year, I've encountered many indie games that tried to approach their stories with minimalism and ended up feeling incredibly bland and lifeless. With Gris, however, the developers at Nomada Studio managed to say so much with so little. Coupled with the aforementioned symbolism-coded gameplay, and you have a recipe for a masterpiece in the making. For the impressively emotional intro to the exceptionally eloquent ending, I really enjoyed the journey through and through. Visually, the game is undoubtedly breathtaking with its stunning watercolor aesthetic. Everything from the landscapes to the architecture is elegantly crafted with the utmost care. The meticulous nature of the artistry even applies to the choice of colors. At the start of the game, color choice is limited to a monochromatic color palette. As the game progresses, colors slowly return for narrative, gameplay, and aesthetic purposes. Each time a color returns, the visual style drastically shifts while remaining captivating every time. The environments heavily emphasize the newly introduced colors in memorable ways that tie it into the story. From the beautiful yet aggressive reds to the cold melancholic blues, Gris is a master of colors. By the end, the distinct visual approach left me really appreciating every single color. Audibly, Gris speaks to the soul. The music plays as a key role in the game's brilliantly crafted atmosphere. It accentuates and facilitates the emotions that the game conveys. The lush orchestral music, complemented by the powerful piano pieces and weighty vocals, left me astounded. As a whole, the presentation is a near-perfect achievement in how gracefully it builds up an emotional response. The true beauty of a minimalist story tied with absolutely stunning visuals and emotionally resonant music make for a genuine masterpiece. Gris is an absolute gem of a work, that definitely deserves your attention. And while it is near perfect, Gameboy 3145 gave it a 10. We had three very well-written reviews this week, and you know what? I kind of agree with all of them. I was really taken in with the art style when I started playing the game. It's very simple, but very stunning. I'm just clicking through some pictures right now, just refreshing my memory. The landscapes are amazing. Like I said, the colors are great. The red desert kind of thing, all the underwater stuff. There's, It's hard to explain. There's a movie. It's a French sci-fi movie. And I can never remember. Yeah, Fantastic Planet. This game kind of reminds me of Fantastic Planet. The reason I can never remember Fantastic Planet is because there's also Forbidden Planet, which is another sci-fi movie from about the same time, but very, very different. But if you've seen Fantastic Planet, that art style is kind of how Gris handles color. It's very, very pretty. And the game does start out very, not even dark, just devoid of color. Everything's black, white, gray, not much to it. But by the time you get to the end, you've gone through red and blue and green and pink and yellow and purple and all these other colors. You've dealt with things that are, you know, while there's no combat, there are things that want to get you, and you need to avoid all those things. By the time you get to the end, you will go through a rainbow of colors and emotions and sound and everything. You know, going into the game, I didn't know what to expect, and having finished it, I really enjoyed my time with it. And even though it's similar to games like they talked about Journey and all those other games, which I've not played, I put this in with games like Gone Home and Dear Esther. Now, obviously, those two games have very clear, defined dialogue, story, all that. But it's not so much. Those games are like walking simulators that tell a story. This game is an action platformer that tells a story. And there's nothing in either game that's really going to ruin your day to the point where you've got to, you know, worry about health or ammo or any of that nonsense, because it's not a thing. But I would put this in my play experience on par with those other two games, Dear Esther and Gone Home. So it gets a 10 for me. Gris is a 10. Got another Western today. We're just going to jump right on into it. It's The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. 1966 spaghetti Western, or epic Western, if you want to call it, directed by Sergio Leone, starring Clint Eastwood, Lee Van Cleef, and Eli Wallach, all fine actors in their own right. Some might say that there is a fourth main character in the movie, and that main character being the Civil War. Yeah. This was the third and final installment in the Dollars trilogy. There was Fistful of Dollars for a few dollars more, and then this. Often called one of the greatest Westerns of all time, which, you know, for being Italian made, that says something. It's a long movie. Coming in at just a little over, I think 3 hours total. If you want the full Italian release, I think the American release is a little shorter. It's just about 3 hours either way, though. It's a long movie, but it's a really good movie. What it does, if you're not familiar with it, is it really has established, and he was fairly established at this point already, but I think there are two films that if you're going to get into Westerns and spaghetti Westerns, Sergio Leone style spaghetti Westerns, there's two films you need to watch. This one and Once Upon a Time in the West, which we'll talk about another day. But summation of this movie, three bounty hunters after some stolen gold and how they have to kind of outwit each other to get to them. Fantastic. Everything about it. Cinematography is great. Ennio Morricone's compositions are great. Just everything about it. Everything about it. Damn fine movie. This week. I'm okay with that. Our lead story, Creme de la Weird. Arthur, also known as Jack Shoebarth, 80, of Vaughn, Montana, pleaded guilty on March 12th to two felony wildlife crimes after the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks conducted a years-long investigation, Business Insider reported. Shoebarth was accused of buying, selling, and breeding, quote, alternative livestock, such as mountain sheep and mountain goats for captive hunting operations. Between 2013 and 2021, court documents said he conspired with others to create a large hybrid species of sheep that would garner higher prices from shooting preserves. To do so, he brought parts of Marco Polo Argali sheep from Kyrgyzstan to the U.S. without declaring them. His other crimes include forging veterinary documents and shipping hybrid semen to other breeders. He faces jail time, fines, and supervised release. He's 80. He bought parts of Marco Polo Argali sheep. Parts. Parts. Which parts? I want to know. This is how... Remember that... Do you guys know that movie? I can't think of the name of it. Where there was like the sheep boy hybrid thing. I think it was an Irish film. I need to watch it because I've heard it's really good. But it's maybe that. Maybe that's what was going on. Here's a recurring theme. It's back, ladies and gentlemen. In the waning days of 2020, a tall silver monolith popped up in various locations in California, Texas, Romania, and elsewhere. Now, Wales Online reports it's back. Wales like the country, not the animal. The 12-foot tall tower, which appears to be stainless steel, turned up near Hay-on-Wye in Wales on around March 10th when Richard Haynes came across it while he was out for a run. Quote, I thought it might be a scientific media research thing collecting rainwater, but then I realized it was way too tall and strange for that. It was hollow, and I imagine light enough for two people to carry it up and plant it to the ground, Haynes said. Stay tuned. I would like to know more about the silver monolith. Stainless steel, 10 feet tall. Yeah, stainless steel is not terribly heavy. But if it's a box, it's, you know, interesting. A story of awesome. At the Goodwill store in Dubois, Pennsylvania, workers found a treasure box of old Lego pieces, UPI reported on March 12th. A 14-karat gold, oh boy, Kanohi Hawa mask from, excuse me, Bionicle thing, I don't know. Originally priced at Goodwill for $14.95, the piece eventually sold for $18,100 to an anonymous collector. We didn't know it was worth anything until people started asking if they could buy it for $1,000, said Chad Smith, vice president of e-commerce and technology for Goodwill. Lego created only 30 pieces, in gold in 2001. Why, though? Why? Also in... Awesome. LAD Bible reported on March 5th that two unacquainted Brits who were headed to holiday in Bangkok, Thailand. That's an odd way to... Let me start it over. Let me say it how I think they meant to say it, because it's an odd sentence. Okay. I think I see what they were trying to do. And I think this is how they meant to say it. LAD Bible reported on March 5th about two unacquainted Brits who were headed to a holiday in Bangkok, Thailand. At the airport, Mark Garland, 58, of Wiltshire, tried to check in, but gate staff told him he had already checked in. After some sleuthing, they realized there was another Mark Garland, 62, from Bristol, on the flight, and the lookalikes were seated next to each other. As it happens, they live only about 15 miles apart and sometimes ride the same bus, and they even have a friend in common. We were so shocked by how strange it was, said the younger Garland. It was crazy. I have never known anything like it, said the older. I've made a friend for life. That is a little weird. Questionable judgment. After Jacob Wright, 24, and Cambry Wright, 19, exchanged wedding vows on February 10th, it was time for pictures, Fox News reported, so Jacob grabbed his Apple Vision Pro headset and wore it while the photos were snapped. Jacob said he saw an opportunity to have fun and create a viral moment. I was like, oh, it'd be like such a meme. It'd be so funny if we just took some pictures with it on after the wedding. Sure enough, when they posted the pics, Cambry said she started getting crazy messages. I woke up to 200-plus messages and just random girls telling me to divorce my husband. But the bride said the photos perfectly encompass Jacob and his personality and what our relationship is like. If you have to seek out a moment and hope that it becomes viral, I think you're doing it wrong. Here's a bright idea. Amber Denae Wright of Cape Town, South Africa, has shared a marriage tip on TikTok that other wives may want to adopt, People reported on March 9th. A video on the social media site shows her husband, Nick, talking while Amber plays orchestra music from her phone. When Nick asks, "What is that? What is that you're playing?" Amber says, it's Oscar's music. You know when the speeches are too long? Nick's taking it well, though. She's been doing this the whole week. Every time I tell a story, is it going to be the rest of my life? Nick said all of that, I believe. It's an unattributed quote. One TikTok commenter suggested, I should use this at work when guys mansplain. I don't feel like that's going to be beneficial long term. Field report. New Orleans Police Superintendent Anne Kirkpatrick told city council members on March 13th that rats had infested the department's building so thoroughly that they had made their way to the evidence room and were eating confiscated marijuana. They're all high, she said, according to the AP. The uncleanliness is off the charts, she elaborated. Wow. Saying the building is full of mold and cockroaches and staff suffer broken air conditioning and elevators. Well, the mold is a big deal. You gotta get that fixed. That's disappointing, ladies and gentlemen. The Pittsburgh Penguins plan to provide prize playthings to their passionate patrons on the evening of March 14th, ESPN reported. And then, in parentheses, okay, that's enough of that. No, don't do that. Don't do that. NHL legend Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads were promised for the game against the San Jose Sharks, but the cargo was stolen during transit. Penguins president of business operations, Kevin Acklin, said the team is looking forward to resolving the theft and delivering the prized Jagr bobbleheads to their rightful homes with our fans. The hockey great commented, the legend of Jagr continues. Again, an attributed quote. I'm assuming they're talking to Jaromir or talking about, but the way that's lined out, Kevin Acklin has the quote, and then it just, you know, do better. Do better, News of the Weird. The passing parade on March 5th in Green Bay, Wisconsin. A 42-year-old man was charged with battery and disorderly conduct with a weapon after his daughter called 911, saying her dad was naked and had a gun. Oh, the naked gun. The smoking gun, reported the story, and the much more compelling backstory about D's Nuts Lee Krall, the defendant. In 2011, Derek Lee Krall, then 29, petitioned the court and paid $164.50 for a name change. On the form, Krall, who seems to be spelling challenged, wrote his preferred name, Des Nuts Lee Krall, and said his reason for the change was that, quote, I without a doubt hate my name. 6 years later, it occurred to Desnuts that he had spelled the name wrong, and he went to court to change it again. At his recent run-in with the law, officers noted that he appeared to be intoxicated, but cooperated with them. He was released on $2,000 bond. A 42-year-old man was charged with battery and disorderly conduct with a weapon, saying her dad had a gun. So is D's Nuts the dad? Was 29 in 2011. So, yeah. God, that is just a... Who edited the news of this week? The Golden Age of Air Travel. Indonesia's National Transportation Safety Committee reported this week that on a January 25th Batik Air flight, both pilots fell asleep for about 30 minutes as the plane flew off its correct flight path. Sky News reported that when the plane carrying 153 passengers and floor flight attendants reached 36,000 feet, the 32-year-old pilot asked his co-pilot to take over while he rested. But the 28-year-old, whose wife recently delivered twins, also nodded off, and the plane flew itself for 241 miles before they woke up. They were able to get the plane back on the flight path and land safely in Jakarta. After they dealt with the Langoliers. War and time, everybody. This week we are going to pull up a track from Bad Luck Streak in Dancing School, and we're going to be listening to Play It All Night Long. Warren said that the song was written really fast while on a marijuana and on a synthesizer. It's a satirical song to the Dead Band's song, notably the one in the song itself, Sweet Home Alabama, which itself was a reply to Neil Young's Southern Man. Warren had read a novel about the time the song was written by Newton Thornburg titled Black Angus and got the idea for the line, "The cattle all have brucellosis." Its common live favorite made its way into set lists subsequent to its release. It's probably the only popular song ever written which contains a reference to brucellosis. Warren Zevon doing lead vocals and synth, David Lindley guitar and lap steel, good old Lee Sklar playing bass, Rick Murata on drums, and Jackson Brown singing harmonies. It was written very quickly, and it's an interesting song. The cattle all having brucellosis is about the most regular normal thing that happens. There's a lot of bodily fluids, grittiness, there's a bar, and a determination to persevere, I think we can say with that. Yeah, just go in with an open mind. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this week's edition of the show. Hope you enjoyed it. I hope you check out The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. I hope you listen to Play It All Night Long. I hope you check out some more Blasto. I'm hoping we're almost done with that game. It's so terrible. And more Final Fantasy Tactics, which we're getting close to the end of. Thinking about here. Oh boy, I just got a text message from Trump. Should I have a rally in California? I want to hear from you by the end of the day. Answer now, GOPWay1.com. Go to hell. There we go. I don't know if that stopped, but I think they can pick that up from the subtext, right? Yes, thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, please consider leaving us a like and a review. I do appreciate that stuff when you take the time to do it. If you want to check out any of the videos, music, any other stuff that we do around here at the Groove Machine Dome, you can find that at jasonsgroovemachine.com. What else can I tell you? If you'd like to kick in some couple of bucks and financially support the show, you can do that by going to buymeacoffee.com/electricleft. And what does that get you? Well, for your $5 a month, that gets you video versions of the podcast every week. And that gets you entered into drawings and things like that for the games we play on the streams every week. So when we need a new stream, anybody who's a contributor or a supporter, we'll say, I get a hold of you, say, hey, pick a couple games. We'll put it on the list. And if it wins, I'll play that game for you. I don't think it's a whole lot of extra work on your part, but, you know, I'll leave the decision to do it up to you. That does it for me. I'm going to get out of here. See you guys next time.